Welcome to another Directions Media podcast. Before the ESRI user conference, we asked our readers to submit questions that they had for the ESRI staff. One of the questions we selected to try to find an answer to was this one. What is ESRI doing to facilitate growth of standards-based tool sets to establish OGC services on top of an ESRI data store? Joe Francica took this question to the experts at the ESRI user conference in San Diego.
Here on the floor of the ESRI conference 2006 in San Diego, speaking with Jeannie Faust and Keith Ryden. We're going to talk about the ESRI support for standards. So I'm going to give it over to Jeannie.
Well, at ESRI, we actually, our activities with standards, you can think of them as falling into two spheres of activity. One is that we support, as good GIS citizens, work on standards organizations, specifically the Open Geospatial Consortium and the ISO Technical Committee 211, building good specifications that will help ensure interoperability in a heterogeneous environment for end users, for our GIS users. And on the other part of our activities is we take those specifications as they become final, and as they're final, and we engineer them, either we engineer them into our software or they inform the engineering of our software. And that's what my colleague Keith Ryden is actually manages and is responsible for at ESRI. If you think about why this is important, you can see that many different standards fall in different categories. In fact, it was one of the things that Keith talked about this morning, all the different areas where standards fall in the information stack, and therefore there are different kinds of IT standards and geospatial standards.
I think it's important to understand that most of our users, or all of our users, have to work in environments that they're dealing with more than just spatial standards. They're dealing with IT infrastructure. They're dealing with systems that want to integrate into a, they want to take advantage of the information that's in a GIS or the spatial data, but they have to do it in the context of an overall IT infrastructure. And there's a series of standards and patterns that are adopted there that they have to work within. Then there's a series of domain specifications. These are what are coming out of OGC. These are what are coming out of the TC 211 work that are specific to these to the spatial component. But that has to work in concert with these IT standards. That's where the challenge is to have those all work together. And that's where the standards development it doesn't just happen. You don't just get a specification out and it works. It needs to evolve. It needs to be worked. It needs to be beat on and reworked.
What Keith says is really timely because, in fact, you probably know, Joe, that what's going on within OGC, and we're very much supportive of this, and is that the OGC Association is standing up something called an architecture board. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of the architecture board, one of the purposes is to look not at the whole stack of OGC specifications and where they fit in the life cycle of the GIS users, but also at looking at modernizing those specifications. And that's where, before we started, I made the point to you that when we clearly want our users to understand the two spheres of activities, and there shouldn't be confusion about them. When we work as good members of the GIS community and take off our ESRI hat, and we're working to come up with our sister companies and the open source community to come up with the specifications, we will argue the merits openly about that whether some standards are legacy, whether they're not modernized into the service-oriented architecture, and as well we should. That shouldn't be confused with the fact that we are committed absolutely to supporting the OGC specifications that get finalized and then support those, because we believe in hope that standards will help in heterogeneous GIS computing. So people shouldn't confuse the two spheres of activities, which I think is easily confusable.
Right.
Because, in fact, we know members of OGC themselves have recognized, and that's why we're standing as an architecture board to begin to look at taking the OGC specifications to reduce the tension between as the service-oriented architecture, the OASIS and W3C specifications are developing, that we are in sync with those in our domain GIS standards.
Sure.
Yeah, it seems that Jack, in the opening presentation, made much more emphasis on 9-2 as being much more open than maybe in the past. Do you want to speak to maybe specifically how you think it's more open, or what users should hear about why it's open?
Well, there are several things about 9-2 that are noteworthy in terms of it being more open. ArcGIS server fits well in this services architecture. It's designed to work in that arena, so it provides access mechanisms for people through that services architecture. It's easy to integrate into these IT systems. On the specific domain standards front, many of these specifications have gone through this revision cycle that we talked about earlier, and they've reached a point, they reached a mature level of maturity where they're far more useful for people. You're going to see far more deployment of those. The support's been there, but it's now much easier to deploy, much more solid, not only in terms of our implementation, but all of the people around us. The other implementations, the clients and the consumers are now working much better together, and that's because many of the vendors have gotten together and figured out how to make this work. Where there's holes in the spec, how do we resolve those? Where there's inconsistencies, how do we resolve those? OGC has gone through a process of what they call plug fest. That's been very productive, very useful. That helps us resolve these issues. So I think you see a lot of the vendors wanting to make that really work well. And our software is reflecting that, and others, Safe and Intergraph. Everyone's getting iteratively better. And I think we've reached a point where these systems really are starting to work well together. And I think you'll see that improve further as we go into the future. Now people will start to push the envelope, start to uncover new things, and you'll see vendors working out those issues and making this really work well. The other thing that we've done with 9-2 is that we have put a lot of effort, a lot of emphasis on the documentation, on defining and clearly defining the underlying schema of the geodatabase, of the data access systems, and giving people the information they need to access that directly and to work with that directly. There's nothing about that is proprietary or closed. It never has been. But lack of information has made that difficult. That information is in the 9-2 release. The schemas are documented. The access paths are documented. So I think people will find that to be more inviting, not as scary. As a lot of what we've done is taken things that were buried in white papers, that were buried in deep down inside of developer kits, and we've moved that up. If you install ArcGIS Desktop and go into the help system, you will see now complete documentation for the geodatabase schema, complete documentation for how SDE is used as an access mechanism into that schema, and how it works with all the different DBMS systems.
One of the things that Jack showed at the opening session was you had AutoCAD up there with the plug-in menu for ArcGIS, and you had GeoMedia from Intergraph up there. The good question is, that's interoperability. That's not necessarily standards,
yeah,
but it's a great story.
Is interoperability enabler. It's one of the interoperability enablers. Standards are extremely important. They are one of the most important interoperability enablers. They're not the only interoperability enabler, right? I mean, support for even the basic things that we sometimes forget about. Projection support.
Right.
Some basic things which everyone expects to be in a modern GIS system are really interoperability enabled. And then there's also the ability to read and write directly from one vendor or one kind of GIS software to another. And if there isn't a standard required needed between that works. There's also the spatial extract, transform, and modal support. So these are either or. These all work together. together.
That's a really good point to make, because as we get forced as an industry to move beyond our own fiefdoms into the real world of mainstream IT.
At the end of the day, people need to get their job done. That's what they have to do. We need to make that as easy for them to do as possible. Look at the simple feature specs. Those are 2D specifications. Early on, we determined we can't get agreement on elevations, we can't get agreement on measures, we can't get agreement on time. Just focus on 2D planimetric data. We were able to get agreement there. We were able to get the simple feature spec through. We were able to get it into ISO, into TC211. We were able to take it and harmonize it with the SC32 spec for SQL MM. That's an example where a specification has gone through several revision cycles and is really united across many different specification or standards bodies, and it's in use today. And you know, the Geo database is built on that. Oracle Spatial is built on that. DB2 is built on that. Informix is built on that. Implementations against SQL Server are built on that. That one's ubiquitous, and you don't hear about it much anymore because it just works.
Yeah. It's important for, we have made a decision because we think it's in the best interest of our users that we will implement into our software, into core software, and you see it showing up at 9.2, and into some of our extensions so that we're finalized specifications. Now, does that mean that ESRI doesn't work on prototypes and demonstrations of emerging specifications which are not yet finalized?
Mm-hmm.
We do. We do not put that into our core product. We will only put finalized specs into our specifications, into our software.
One of the interoperability issues, again, was also addressed in the opening session. One was the ability to use SQL statements at the Geo database. That was one. The other one was the special data, spatial data type for working with Oracle.
Uh-huh.
Even though Oracle already has a separate data type that works with the ESRI data. So, do you want to address that?
Again, in terms of helping our users be successful, helping our users get their work done, there are scenarios in which they want to or need to access their spatial database directly, where working with SQL is a good solution for them, or maybe it's the only solution for them because that's the environment in which their developers are able to operate. So we've been providing SQL access on DB2 and on Informix for several years. We supported Oracle Spatial since its first early releases as a spatial data option. So we've always been a supporter of Oracle Spatial. We've always had that out there. But our users were also asking us to provide them with an implementation that was consistent with the DB2 and Informix implementation, that they could write, that they could use the same access patterns and logic to work with, and that would provide them with the same level of performance and scalability that they were getting with their other implementations.
That concludes another Directions Media podcast. You can reach us at www.directionsmag.com. We hope you'll join us again soon, and be sure to tell a friend.